should have 3 losses by now.
I don't know about that.
They are not that good.
Put Florida State in there, I would say yes to that, what you just said.
One return by Caleb Downs. And he finds a seam. He makes the punter look silly. Caleb Downs, show him what you got. Touchdown, Bama.
5 minute drive now for UTEP. And they will keep it on the ground. Ewan just gets pile driven by Stutzman.
Really haven't even tried from the shotgun. That throw is intercepted. Pierce down the sideline. Touchdown.
Claiborne, the sophomore, has 1 score so far this season. Griffiths will buy a little bit of time. Falling down, lost the football. Play is still live. And recovered by the Monarchs. LaMarion James will take it the other way for the ODU touchdown.
They could have 3 losses.
Technical difficulties. I don't know why it kept coming back on. Sorry about that. Welcome to WIDP Grind. I'm Hollywood. I'm joined by Justice. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I thought you just wanted to watch Josh James Pierce Jr. Highlights all day or something.
I guess I clicked, to click it off and it came right back on. So I don't know what the issue is with it. Anyway, welcome back to WIDP Grind Podcast. I'm Hollywood Dutton. I'm joined by Justice. We're bringing you a breakdown of the preview of IDPs for the Sun Belt Conference. For some reason, I've had the ACC in my brain for 2 days now, and I can't get it out of my head. But we'll get that later. But this is going to be the Sun Belt Conference. Before we get to that, we got some news and notes. Not a whole lot, but some interesting stuff, I guess. Colorado head coach Deion Sanders has said he has no intentions of following his sons to the NFL. Says he still has work to do at Boulder. So I know earlier he came out and made a list or whatever of teams that he would want his sons and Hunter to play for, or which kind of led to the speculation he might go to the NFL, but he says he's not. So I think he's just trying to boost their draft stock is what
I think. For sure. Trying to get them drafted. Did you watch that spring game?
I did not. I couldn't stand it for a second year.
I didn't watch it either, but I was reading something on Twitter about they don't have any running backs because they all left, and then they got some in the portal, but there's none in camp right now. So anyway, they converted a cornerback to play running back in the spring game, and he had a really, really good day. And the takeaway there is Colorado defense is just piss poor once again. You got this guy that's a cornerback playing running back in the spring game because they don't have enough bodies, and he's freaking ripping you to shreds. So yeah,
one of their best
doesn't ones bode well good for their defense again.
Wasn't it Dylan Edwards who recently just left, entered the portal and left?
Edwards left, Alton McCaskill left, but they got commitments from Dallin Hayden and Rashad Amos. So, but again, who knows how good they'll be? I mean, the offensive line might not be any better than it was last year. The defense doesn't sound like it's any better than it was last year. So, I don't know.
I don't know if the defense is any worse, then that's going to be horrible. Because they had issues last year. I mean, me and you and Chop talked about it last year. Right? They had so many issues just because of their size. They just can't hold up against those big offensive lines that they're going to see on a routine basis. It's just hard to do. Now, I know sometimes you're going to win on pure speed and quickness, but for a consistent basis, you got to be able to fight those big dudes, and they just didn't have the manpower to do it.
No, it doesn't look like they have it again this year. So, you know.
Yeah. We all know that Michigan won the national championship last year, and they had 13 players drafted in the NFL draft this year. So that's basically one starting side of your team. I know they weren't all off the same side, but when you lose 13 starters, that's going to be a lot for them to try to overcome, I think, this year, if they want to try to repeat.
I mean, I think their defense is still going to be really good, I think, but yeah. The offense, yeah, I'm not sure that the offense is going to be that good. Defense will definitely have to carry them this year.
Yeah, they've still got some pretty decent defense pieces. But yeah, I think you're right. Their offense is what's going to struggle. And I would think that they would try to lean on their run game. I think that's one of their – on offense, I think that's where their identity is going to be this year until they figure out exactly who their quarterback and receivers are. So,
was there any players that didn't get drafted you were a little surprised by?
Yeah, the Grayson twins from UCLA.
Or the Murphy twins, you mean?
The Murphy twins, Grayson and Gabriel. I was shocked that Grayson at least didn't get a look. I was kind of shocked by that. Somebody had mentioned it. I was like, wow.
That's probably one of the bigger defensive ones. For me, the biggest one, the surprising was offensive player was I really thought Blake Watson would get drafted by somebody, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, and I think it was a weird draft in a way because it started with, what, 13 or 14 consecutive?
14 consecutive. I think it broke a record for the number of offensive players in the first round.
Yeah.
You saw defensive players really drop. I mean, freaking the Eagles got a steal with Quinyon Mitchell, you know, and their defense just got – they have so much talent on that Eagle defense. It's just it's a matter of they can put it all together, you know.
Yeah, I thought the Eagles had one of the best drafts classes of the draft.
Yeah, I mean they've had that the last couple of years. They have a lot of talent, man. They just for whatever reason they couldn't really put it all together on the field last year. Maybe this year will be different, but we'll see.
Yeah, if it all gels together. They're going to be tough to beat, especially with, like you mentioned, Quentin Mitchell. They got a value with Cooper DeJean. He should have been a first-rounder, I think. Then they got my boy that I did a draft profile on from the HBCU, Jalen Hunt.
Yeah, drafted him in the third round.
I love that spot for him because, they've got Josh Sweat. They've got Bryce Huff now, right? They brought him over from the Jets in free agency. So that's your two main starters. So I think.
Well, is Reddick not there anymore?
No, Reddick is with the Jets, I believe. I think he left to go to the Jets. So it was basically a swap for him and Huff, but it was two different. But they still have the guy they drafted last year or the year before that can play edge for him from Georgia. I can't remember his name at all.
Yeah, you're right. He's at the Jets. I totally missed that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a good landing spot for Hunt because he's really raw, right? I mean, he's only played edge for two or three years, and it wasn't until he went to Houston Christian where he really kind of started making a name for himself. So, really raw prospect, but super talented, and I think the sky's the limit for him. So, I like it. He can just go in there and kind of sit back, relax, do what he needs to do, learn the game. And I think they'll be onto something in maybe two or three years, maybe when they want to try to get rid of Sweat. Maybe he'll be ready. But, yeah, I like that. I thought they had a really good class. Kool-Aid, everyone's favorite drink, is expected to release a limited edition Black Cherry Blitz flavor as they have now partnered with Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Match made in heaven. Like, you wonder why, like, that didn't happen, like, while he was at Bama.
I know. And I don't know if that was – I don't know what that was, but I'm like you. With him having his name like that, you thought that would be a slam dunk. But could be something behind the scenes that I didn't know about. But, yeah, I think it's on Twitter. I think I reposted it on our Debbie Grind account. They had a picture of the packet. So I'm going to keep an eye out for it because I'd like to just have a couple and put away. You never know. I collect weird shit like that, man. So don't, if you can see, you've seen some of my game or my game room, but if you can see some of the other crap I have in here, it's a kind of eclectic, but good for him. Ohio State Buckeyes safety Jahad Carter has entered the portal. I'm not surprised by this, especially with Caleb Downs in town now. But even without Downs, that was a crowded safety group. I mean, they've got a ton of safeties. And then when you add Downs there, it just kind of made sense that somebody was going to leave. My brain's not working, but they've got somebody that's trying to move up or make the switch from safety to linebacker, which helped, but it's still so crowded.
You know. Was it Styles?
Yes, Styles, Sonny Styles. Yes. Thank you. So even with him making a possible switch, that room is super crowded. And with Downs, he's not going to come off the field. So that kind of puts you into the other safety spot or the third safety. So there's not a lot of playing time there. So it'll be interesting to see where Carter winds up going to.
Yeah, the Ohio State's got a lot of talent too, man. Are they finally going to do something with it, I guess is the question.
Here's my thing with Ohio State, not to get off track. I think defensively, I know. Defensively, they're going to be one of the top three, if not the top team in the country. You've got JT Tuamalu. You've got Jake Sawyer on your edges. Those two are going to be first-round picks when they get ready to come out, right? You've got Caleb Downs on the back end at safety. You've got C.J. Hicks, who I watched the spring game, went back and watched it on YouTube. From what I've seen, he's going to be what everybody has been hoping he would be. And if that's the case, man, all they got to do is get some help on the perimeter with their corners. Now, in the spring game, they had some injuries, so some of their starters were out. But, man, their cornerback group is young and talented. And it's almost to the point that they're so good that they're going to make a lot of mistakes, but man, they're going to be so good and they're just going to bounce right back. They're going to forget it and come back the next play. That's how good they're going to be. So I guess my point is if they can get some help on the perimeter and just a little help around Hicks at linebacker, man, they're going to put it on some teams. They just have to figure out what they're doing at quarterback. Because I think they're kind of set at running back. They're set at wide receiver. Looks like they're pretty decent with their O-line. I think quarterback's the issue. If they could figure out who that is.
Who was the other linebacker besides Hicks? Because they lost Eichenberg and Steel Chambers. So that was kind of their two main men last year.
I was actually looking at this earlier. I've got my list pulled up here. Yes, Styles is going to make the switch from safety to linebacker, so he could be one. Trying to find it here. I'll keep looking. Cody Simon, he's the senior.
Okay.
So he's likely the other starter next to Hicks. And then if you can get Styles or somebody else to kind of join in as that third linebacker, looks like what they're going to roll with. But Hicks looked good in the spring game. And if he can play like that all year, then Buckeyes are going to be just fine. I just think it's quarterback that they're going to have to figure out. We talk about NIL and stuff all the time. And we just had the draft. And this is a name you've heard us talk about, but former Miami Hurricane defensive tackle Leonard Taylor it's reported that if he'd returned to school for the Hurricanes, he would have made $600,000 in NIL deals this season. He enters the draft, goes undrafted, and is now in a situation where he's having to fight for a roster spot in a contract, and it's going to be probably about half of what he's making. He's going to be in that $300,000 range. So I thought that was very interesting because before it was about what your grade that you're given, right? From scouts and coaches and this draft committee. And I think it still is. I think that's a part of it. But I think now that you have to take into account this NIL because, yeah, maybe you're getting a decent grade. And I'd like to know what his draft grade was because clearly it was off if he got one because he went undrafted. But now I think
I thought someone said it was seventh round UDFA, which kind of, I mean, if that's really what it was, then why would he, why would he declare?
Yeah. And my thought is if he's, I have to think that he knows that he could have made $600K at Miami. Right, I would say those deals are already kind of preset if he returns. Why would you, if you're getting a draft grade that low or go undrafted, why would you give that up? I think you would want to come back and try to improve your draft stock. I mean, that's just me. But I wonder how many players now this is going to happen to, right? They're going to be told one thing and expect one thing when they go to the NFL. Which has happened before, but now you're giving up. He's essentially given up about half of his salary this year. I mean, $600K to $300K as an undrafted free agent or whatever it is could be a little less. But
I mean, I think $300K is pretty high for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It could be so, less than that he makes. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. It happens every year, though. Maybe it'll happen less and less where guys just kind of make – guys that have eligibility left just make poor decisions.
Right. And starting tomorrow – well, not starting tomorrow, but tomorrow is the deadline, 4:30, for the last day for college players to enter into the transfer portal. So they have to have their paperwork and everything sent in by tomorrow. So that's coming.
And it's not just any play. I mean, something I read earlier last week, I guess, is it's graduates too. Yeah. It used to be grad transfers could do whatever, but not anymore. Now they have to have their name in by the same deadline.
Yes. Yes, they do. And I saw a list, I think it was CBS, of the top 10 players still in the portal or available in the portal. There was a few defensive players, but not really none that struck a chord with me as a big change for a team. Some good players, but I don't think it's anything that really, for the upper elite teams, I don't think it's anybody that would move the needle, right? You're kind of looking at the lower level, lower conference teams that might be interested in those. I believe we talked about this also earlier, but 2-minute warning each half and helmet communication is going to be instituted this year, which I think is going to be huge for the offenses, right? Helmet communication, that is. That's going to be huge.
And it'd be interesting to see. I haven't looked into this, but I wonder if the helmets will be marked like they are in the NFL, right? You know, like the NFL, like you always say, well, who's wearing the green dot on defense? I wonder if they're going to have to designate or mark the helmets in college.
I would assume they'd have to because you have to you would have to prevent your quarterback being out there and then another player having that being on the field with that type of communication. Like, you know, running a second quarterback that can play receiver, you can't have two of them out there, I would assume. So they're going to have to mark that some way, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was just Googling it.
while you're Googling
that. Yep, a green dot in the midline of his helmet.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So same thing, green dot.
So, yeah, that was to be expected, but I think that'll be interesting to see. And then EA Sports has announced, as we all know, that they're coming back this year with the college football. Well, today they announced that they're going to have multiple covers, athletes on their covers. So, and they're going to have, according to them, they're going to have one representing each of the power conferences. So I'm assuming that's the Power Four now, since the Pac-12 is pretty much gone. So I'm guessing that's the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC. So I don't know if they'll have any more outside of that, but it looks like they're going to have somebody from each conference be on the cover for them. So I'm sure that's a marketing ploy for people to try to collect and all that stuff. But, hey, it makes sense. Plus, I'm sure it drives a little more revenue, right?
Right.
Because maybe it's your favorite player from your conference or whatever, or, you know, however that goes. But I thought that was interesting. That's something that we really haven't seen done as far as games go.
Speaking of the Pac-2, I think last week the NCAA basically made them basically said you're G5. That's what that means as the end result. They're an autonomous conference, which is the same as all the G5 conferences. You know, the article talked about that, I guess, them and the Mountain West are working in good faith to either merge, you know, and then within the next 2 years. Basically, they have 2 years to get their stuff straight or you know, they have a two-year grace period. But then it was something like if they absorbed all the Mountain West, then they didn't lose any money. But if they did not, then they had to pay like $137 million or something. But you know, the end result is Oregon State and Washington State's, they're just sitting back and waiting to see what happens with the ACC. You know, with that lawsuit that Clemson and Florida State have, when that kind of settles out, and as if you like, I guess, as at least as I expect, you know, it's going to result in ACC losing teams, then they're banking on the ACC asking them to join.
Right, but that, we've also talked about the possibility of them in the Mountain West too. So,
yeah, I think that's the backup plan. They want to be back in. They want to be back in the power. You know, Power Four. So I think you know they're waiting for the ACC collapse to happen, and then hoping they get an invite to the ACC. If that doesn't work out, then yeah, I think the fallback plan is basically just merge with the Mountain West. But at that point, you're still still G5. Like that's just what it's going to be. You can call yourself the Pac-12 all you want, but you're not going to be considered a power conference. You're going to be a G5 conference.
Well, long as the Pac-12 doesn't fully collapse, do they? Correct me if I'm wrong. Do they not still have some say as a power member? Like that's gone now.
Well, that's what happened last week. They made them an autonomous conference. So I don't think it's automatic that they become a non-autonomous conference, it just because they add more people.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that you know, if they want to remain, you know, in the Power Four, so to speak, then they're gonna have to join the ACC. Otherwise, they're gonna be relegated to the same thing as all the rest of the G5.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't see them. I don't see them merging with the Mountain West, keeping the Pac-12 name, and then, you know, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC going and say, "Oh, well, you're a power conference now." Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right. Well, be interesting to see how that plays out. But you may be right; they may be waiting for the ACC to fold, collapse, or whatever. It won't fold or collapse, but there's definitely.
There's going to be some changes. It would appear for folks leaving.
We're not quite done with all this realignment and shuffling yet. I imagine we won't be for another year or so because I'm sure there'll still be.
Well, then even then, like let's say that happens. So the ACC loses some teams. you know, it's going to affect more G5, affect those, probably those Pac-2. And at some point, it just feels like to me, like the SEC and the Big Ten is going to do their own thing. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. They're going to leave, do their own thing, and the rest of college football will be left to kind of pick up the scraps, so to speak, and fight over them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for sure. Before we get into our five-star topic, go check out our website at IDP Nation, our Discord. It's IDP Nation and Davey IDP Grind. That's growing. We've got a lot of different things going on over there. And then check out our Patreon, especially if you're into IDP Davey. If you're watching this, I'm sure you are. But there's a lot of free stuff over there. And then there's a lot of Davey stuff that I'm doing. I've actually got the top 300 IDP rankings for this year. Davey rankings open right now, working on it. Made a few changes, so go check those out. Good stuff over there. So our five-star topic, we've been picking a conference and doing a IDP preview for you. We've been letting you know the coaching changes, who's in, who's out, and then we've been letting you know which players have left through the draft or the portal and which players have come in. So, like I said, it's the Sun Belt Conference this week. Which I like this conference. I think there's some good football gets played down there. Of course, they've got App State and some of those teams. So there was more changes than I expected coaching-wise. I just didn't realize how much turnover they had had. But there was quite a few. So we'll get right into it. I'll do the coaching changes. Justice will break down all the player changes, who's leaving, who's returning or coming back in. So we'll get started. Up first is Appalachian State. I want to say some simple changes on defense. Victor Cabral, their defensive line coach, is gone. He went to West Virginia to be their new outside linebackers coach. And in his place, they're bringing in Eric McDaniel. And he's coming over from Troy to coach, where he coached the same position. So that was their only change, was their defensive line coach.
Player wise, they lose edge Donovan Spellman off to Charlotte, linebacker Andrew Parker Jr. out of eligibility, safety Nick Ross out of eligibility. Those guys were the top two tacklers last season. They lose four out of the top six tacklers. They do bring in safety Miles Farmer from Syracuse. When we talked with App State Mania on G5 Hive, he was very excited about Miles Farmer. He just said the dude's, you know, built. He's built like a brick shit house, for lack of a better word. But he was excited about Farmer. He said Farmer would kind of, you know, be the center field kind of guy for them. He was very, very excited about Farmer. And then, you know, returning wise, they have Caden Sullivan returning at linebacker as their leading returning tackler. Perhaps he's going to step into the Andrew Parker role, maybe. We'll see. Parker had 109 tackles. Nick Ross at safety had 101 tackles a year ago. So kind of, you know, seeing who kind of maybe steps up into those roles is going to be interesting. You know, he said – last year, I think that they switched, they kind of switched their defense midseason and kind of traded out a linebacker for a more of like a hybrid safety kind of role to kind of, for, you know, all, you know, the pass heavy offenses. And that seemed to really work well for them. So he said they were kind of sticking with that again this coming year.
Awesome. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out since they made the switch, but yeah.
It worked. It worked for the second half of last year.
Yeah, they seemed to improve a lot once the switch was made. So, I mean, if it's working for you, then why would you not, you know, stay with it? But we'll see if that's the case this year. Arkansas State Red Wolves are next. And they had no coaching changes.
But they do lose some production on the defensive side. Gavin Potter, linebacker, is off to Tulsa. Javonte Mackey is off to Memphis. And edge, Kieran Crawford, is off to Auburn. They bring in edge Noah Collins from Georgia Tech. This name might sound familiar, but this is the, I think, the brother of Lebius, but defensive tackle Micaiah Overton comes over from Texas A&M. And linebacker Chris Pearson comes over from Houston for Arkansas State. In terms of returning production, they do return their top two tacklers from a year ago, and it's linebacker Charles Willekes, 91 tackles, and then safety Trevion Thomas also returns with 91 tackles. They do lose another linebacker. They lose is Malik Straker, who had 85 tackles. So, you know, they got some holes to fill in that linebacker room for sure. Have not talked with those guys yet on G5 Hive, so I don't really have any insight into Arkansas State. But, Micaiah Overton, kind of interested to see kind of what he can do dropping down from Texas A&M to Arkansas State.
Yeah. And the Trevion Thomas that you were talking about, the safety, I think he's an interesting play because not only was he one of their leading tacklers from a season ago, he did a little bit of everything. I mean, he filled the box score, right? Two interceptions, four pass deflections, a forced fumble, two recoveries. He returned one of them for a touchdown, 2.5 tackles for a loss. So on any given Saturday, he's kind of filling up the box score. And for IDP Devi, right, or Campus DeCanton, whatever you're playing, those are the kind of players you're kind of gravitating towards. So because those are the ones that are giving you the most points. So I would think Trevion Thomas is somebody you definitely want to keep an eye on. I was shocked that they didn't have a single player over 6 sacks last year. Their leading sack was Nate Martev, and he had 6. Everybody else, they had Kieran Crawford at 5.5, but outside of those two, they didn't have a whole lot, which makes it hard for you to win games when you don't have any kind of a pass rush.
Yeah. Makes it very difficult.
Yes, it does. Next is the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. No coaching changes there either. Looks like they've got a few player changes, though.
They do. They lose, in my opinion, one of their top linebackers, JT Killen. He is off to Eastern Michigan. And the interesting thing about him, we already kind of covered Eastern Michigan, but we sat down, I guess, last week, that episode released last Wednesday with the guy from Eastern Michigan. And the interesting thing about Killen is you thought maybe he would kind of take over one of those inside linebacker roles that they lost their top two guys there at Eastern Michigan. But according to what the guy told us last week, he's not. He's playing more of an outside linebacker role. And then the really strange thing, I think his name is James DeJonkum. He was an edge at Arizona, or maybe Arizona State, I think it was. He transferred to Eastern Michigan, and he was the one playing middle linebacker. So he was an edge, you know. So it's like they kind of flip-flop these two guys, right? Anyway, just kind of a little interesting tidbit there by Eastern Michigan. They also lose linebacker Jamar Brown to Liberty, Trey Pinckney linebacker to Southern Miss, Clayton Isbell safety is out of eligibility, as well as defensive lineman Michael Mason. So they lose their top three tacklers from a year ago. The only big name they bring in is cornerback AJ Williams coming over from Wake Forest. Isbell was, their leading tackler a year ago with 89 tackles. Killen was second with 68. Their top returning tackler from a year ago is a cornerback in Juan Powell with 55 tackles. I don't know. There's really not a lot here to get excited about from this Chanticleers defense from an NFL potential or even from a college production perspective.
Georgia Southern Eagles are next. So out is their cornerback, the cornerbacks coach, if I could talk today, who they fired, Kevin Whitley. He is out, and replacing him is Darius Safford, who was a defensive backs coach for Kennesaw State, who just recently moved up. So he's moving over to help the Eagles with their defensive backs, and that's their only – or their cornerbacks, that's their only change on the coaching staff right now defensively.
They do lose their third leading tackler, linebacker Kadri Jackson's out of eligibility. But they do bring in someone that has a little bit of intrigue, and that's Devon Hicks, a linebacker from Washington State. I think a lot of folks kind of had high hopes for him last year at Washington State. He took over for, well, at least the anticipation was, the kid that got drafted last year by the Chargers, the linebacker. Man, I can't think of his name. He was like a wide receiver. And then he got converted to safety, and then he got converted to linebacker. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But anyway, folks had high hopes for Hicks at Washington State last year. That didn't really pan out. But now he's moved over to a Georgia Southern. We'll see what he can do there. Maybe he does kind of take over that Kadri Jackson role. Jackson a year ago was a third leading tackler with 57 tackles. But they do return their leading tackler. Marquise Watson, Trent linebacker, had 116 last year, as well as defensive back Tyrell Davis was 65. Marquise Watson, Trent had a pretty good year last year for him. It's probably the only defensive player you might have some interest in.
Yeah, I mean, he had, 120-something plus tackles last year, so 13 for loss, 3.5 sacks, had 2 interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, he's a playmaker. He's probably, like you said, he's probably the main one that you're looking for your fantasy rosters. I was looking because I want to say it's this guy right here, but maybe it's not. Isaac Walker, who's an edge rusher for them, maybe – somebody that you want to keep an eye on. As he had a pretty good year for him last year. Didn't get a lot of tackles, but he had 8.5 for a loss, 6 sacks, which I believe led the team. And he had 7 PBUs and 5 forced fumbles and 4 fumble recoveries. So while he wasn't getting you the high tackle numbers, and usually edges don't, right? 24 tackles on the year. The rest of his box score was impact plays. TFLs, sacks, PBUs, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. And in some of our leagues, those are like higher scoring points, right? Because they're not your normal tackles. You know, they're not the solo tackles. So I believe he's a senior this year. So he's somebody I might keep an eye on if you're looking for some cheap pass rush help. Next up, we are going to have the Georgia State Panthers, who you and Luke, were talking to someone, a fan of theirs last night on your show. Very interesting to hear. So they've got like a complete change here, pretty much. And we've talked about this over and over. When you change your head coach, 90% of the time, there's a complete overhaul. Not that there's anything wrong with the coaches that are there. It's just – and I kind of understand it, right? If I'm coming in to take over a program, I want to do it my way, and I want to do it with my people, right? So, and we see it at the NFL level, too, so it happens. But, so head coach Sean Elliott, he's gone. He went to South Carolina to coach the tight ends. Their defensive back, Corey Peoples, is gone. He went to Georgia Tech to coach the same position. And then coming in to fill their spots is you're going to have Dale McGee, who a lot of people know, a lot of people respect, right? So he's coming over from Georgia, where he was the running backs coach. he's taken over as a head coach. So that's a big step up. And he's going to have his work cut out for him in the state of Georgia, right? Because you got Georgia Southern, you got Georgia State, you got Georgia, you got Georgia Tech, you got all these schools. So competing recruiting-wise in the state of Georgia is going to be hard, not to mention the Tennessees and everybody else that tries to recruit there. So, but I hope it works out for him because he's got a good track record as being the running backs coach for Georgia. So coming with him, or joining him rather, is going to be Kevin Scherr, who is going to be his defensive coordinator, and he's coming over from Georgia Tech, where he was the co-defensive coordinator. He's got Jeremy Hawkins to coach his defensive line, who's coming over from Eastern Kentucky. And Jeremiah Wilson is going to coach the defensive backs, and he's coming over from Auburn, where he was an analyst.
Player-wise, as you might expect, with a new coach, you got a lot of change there. We talked about it with the guys from the State of Atlanta podcast last night. This is actually one team, with the G5 High, we're interviewing, 63, 64 teams. And so we have to average three a week to get done by, August or middle of August. And so some teams have to be done later. And Georgia State is a team that we have consciously said we got to wait. Just because they just feel like a team that's going to have so much change between now and that first game come the end of August, 1st of September. But they lose linebacker Jontre Hunter, who was an NFL draft hopeful. He did not get drafted, but he did sign a UDFA contract with the New England Patriots. So he's gone. He was their leading tackler last year. They lose safety Tyge Leach is out of eligibility, as well as linebacker Jordan Veneziale. So that's three of their top five tacklers. They do bring in cornerback Kenyatta Watson from Georgia Tech, edge KD McDaniel from Central Florida, linebacker Javon Hall from Marshall, linebacker Martez Thrower from Kentucky, and defensive lineman Victon Brown coming from Louisville. And I have no doubt that they're not done in the portal. So definitely kind of stay tuned to this team. I think, I think they made a good hire with Del McGee, but I just don't know how good they're going to be in year one. And, oftentimes if the team's not so good and which means the offense isn't very good, then the defense can be on the field a lot, which can lead to some production there. So off the top of my head, this isn't a team where I'm targeting anybody today, but it's probably a team I want to kind of pay attention to in the first couple of weeks of the season to kind of see what do they look like. Does the offense look really bad? Is there a defensive player kind of racking up tackles the first week or two of the season?
Right. And Abraham's still there, right? Justin Abraham. So,
yeah, Justin Abraham. He's their leading, leading returning tackler. He had 82 right. tackles a year ago.
Yeah. So I think if you did look there, I think he would be right now. I think he would be the only one, and that's for a depth piece, or maybe if you got somebody injured, you could look at him. 80 something tackles, 8 for a loss, 3.5 sacks. 2 pass deflections. So other than that, I don't see anybody either that I'm looking to roster, but like you said, maybe revisit or re-round back to this group a little bit later and see what happens. Next up is everybody's favorite team, the James Madison Dukes. I actually like James Madison. I thought they would play just about as perfect as they could last year. With their undefeated run that they had there for a while. But they've got a lot of coaching changes. So seeing them be where they was last year could be a stretch, right? Because Kurt Cignetti, their former head coach, is out. He goes to Indiana to be their new head coach. Bryant Haynes, the defensive coordinator, is going to follow Cignetti as he goes to Indiana as well to be the DC there. That's your two big ones, right, as far as the head coach and defense. We mentioned it. When you bring somebody in as head coach, you got a lot of turnovers. So Bob Chesney is going to be the new head coach, and he's coming over from Holy Cross, where he was the head coach there. I don't know much about this hire, and I don't know much about Chesney. From what I've seen, he's a pretty decent coach. But I don't.
He likes to run the ball. I know that.
Yeah, he definitely likes to run the ball, but I feel like there were better options out there for the Dukes to get here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, and like I said, I don't know a whole lot about Chesney. But like you said, he does like to run the ball. He's been pretty good at Holy Cross. He's had them competitive. So, but this is a step up. Even though it's James Madison, this is still quite a step up. So we'll have to see how that works out. So he's going to bring in Dean Kennedy and Anthony DeMichael to coach safeties. They come over from Holy Cross. Sam Daniels is going to coach the defensive line. He comes over from Delaware. Lyle Hempfield is going to be the defensive coordinator. And Nichols, I missed his name, but he's going to be the safeties coach. And then Zach Spraber is going to coach the linebackers, and he was formerly at Duke as an analyst. So quite an eclectic group, right? So you've got some from Duke, you've got some following him over from Holy Cross, and then you've got the defensive line coach coming over from Delaware. I think his staff is not bad, right? Delaware is a pretty competitive team. Holy Cross has been competitive. Duke was competitive, you know, for a couple of years there. So I like it. I just, like I said, I don't know where I stand with the head coaching hire, but I've been wrong.
Well, I mean, I think player-wise, if, you know, last year and probably the year before, the JMU's Duke's defense was pretty stout. And I don't expect them to be nearly as good this year. Between players they've lost out of eligibility, players they lost on the portal, whole new coaching staff. I'm not expecting this defense to be quite as stout as it was in the past. They lose cornerback Brent Austin to South Florida. Recently, I think he was a freshman All-American, cornerback D'Angelo Pons entered the portal, and of course the rumors are that he's gonna, you know, that there's some tampering. He's gonna go to Indiana with Cignetti, and then they lose a whole host of players to Indiana. Defensive lineman James Carpenter, linebacker Jalen Walker, linebacker Aiden Fisher, defensive lineman Mikel Camara, all followed the coaching staff over to Indiana. Linebacker Torres Jones entered the portal. Defensive lineman Jamari Croma and Jalen Green are out of eligibility. Croma, I think, either got drafted or maybe he signed a UDFA. Jalen Green, I just looked it up. It doesn't look like he signed a UDFA yet. They lose seven of their top nine tacklers from a year ago. They bring in defensive lineman DJ Cotton Jr. from West Virginia. Lineman Terry Lockett Jr. from Syracuse, edge Lord Summerall from South Florida, and linebackers Raymond Scott, Fresno State, and Jacob Dobbs follows the staff coming over from Holy Cross. In terms of returning production, their top returning tackler who was fourth a year ago is safety Jacob Thomas, who had 54 tackles. So, yeah, I mean, this defense looks like it's going to, you know, be new from personnel to, you know, coordinators, the whole nine yards. So I'm not really expecting this to be a top-notch defense like it was the last two seasons.
Yeah, they're definitely going to – I agree with you. I think they're definitely going to take some lumps. They're going to take a step back. it's one thing to lose your head coach and some of your coaching staff, right? But they was pretty much a mass exodus of players following him. You rattled them off there with Fisher, and then you lost your two best.
Especially the defensive line, right? They lose that whole defensive line, which was a pretty dominant defensive line for the G5.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't know who's in line to step up in those roles, but they have so many. I know D'Angelo Pons is in the portal. I don't think you had him going anywhere, and I don't think I've seen.
No, but the rumor is that he was going to follow the staff to Indiana, that there was perhaps some tampering going on because he just entered the portal like within the last week.
That's what I thought. So, I mean, if for some reason he were to return, he would be a good one, I think, to have. I think he's still a good one to have regardless. But if he returns to James Masson, boy, he's going to get a workout because I think, like you said, with all the turnover coaching staff-wise, all the player turnover, especially up front on their defense, I mean, you're losing between Green, Kamara, and Jamery Croma. You're losing 59 PFLs, and you're losing 33 sacks.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
A lot of production.
To overcome. Yeah. So, I hope it works out for them. You know, like I said, I like what I have seen out of Chesney and his group. I've seen them in the playoffs, right? When the end of the year comes, because they do the whole playoff system, the 16 teams. So he's had them competitive, and you're right. They are a running team. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. Next up for us, and I feel like I'm missing something here. Nope. Next up is going to be the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. So they have a few changes. Jeff Burris is out as their cornerbacks coach. He's going to Louisiana Tech to coach the safeties. Lamar Morgan, their defensive coordinator and safeties coach, is taking a step up, which I kind of like this. He's going to Michigan, and he's going to help coach their defensive backs coach. And then replacing them or coming in is going to be George Barlow. He's going to coach the secondaries, coming over from South Florida where he coached the same position. You've got Scott Stoker, who's going to coach the inside linebackers, and he comes over from Tarleton State, where he was a safeties coach. Then you've got, I hate some of these names, Jim Salgado, to be the new defensive coordinator, and he's coming from the NFL, where he was a interim defensive assistant for the Washington Commanders. So I kind of like that. You got a little NFL experience on your coaching staff, right? I always think that's a positive thing that these young men can kind of pull from and say, hey, you know, what does it take to get the NFL? So I always think that helps in that type of experience, but that's their coaching changes.
Player-wise, they lose linebacker Kendre Gaunt to Houston. Linebacker Jasper Williams is out of eligibility. Those guys were two of their top four tacklers. They bring in defensive lineman Fitzgerald West Jr. coming from LSU, edge Ashley Williams Jr. from Arizona State, and linebacker Carmichael Glass coming over from Missouri. They do return their leading tackler from a year ago, and linebacker Casey Osai, who had 95 tackles. And then they also return safety Tyrone Lewis Jr., who had 74 tackles a year ago.
Yeah, so they're losing quite a bit as well, sounds like. Next up is going to be the Marshall Thunder and Herd. So they fired Shannon Morrison, who was their linebackers coach. They fired him. Their defensive backs coach left to go to Miami to coach the same position. And coming in as replacements are going to be Bob Shoup is going to coach the safeties. And actually, he was already there as an analyst, so he's just taking a step up in another role. And then you've got Henry Baker, who's going to coach the cornerbacks, and he's coming over from Maryland where he had coached the same position.
Player-wise, they lose their leading tackler, Eli Neal, out of eligibility. I don't think he was drafted. He might have signed a UDFA somewhere. They lose edge Elijah Austin off to Miami. Linebacker Javon Hall, mentioned earlier, going to Georgia State. Defensive end Owen Porter out of eligibility. I'm pretty sure he wasn't drafted. I don't believe I've seen him sign a UDFA anywhere. And then this week they lost some guys in the portal. They lost linebacker Steven Dix Jr., which seems really strange. He was their second leading tackler from the linebacker position anyway. And so you would have thought maybe he kind of would kind of take over that Eli Neal role, but I don't know. Maybe that wasn't the case, or maybe someone's offering him money, or what the case may be. But he entered the portal within the last week, and then cornerback Diani Hill also entered the portal, and then like immediately went to Miami. And we know Miami is kind of throwing around some NIL money there, so I'm sure that was the impetus for him. They bring in defensive lineman Jakarius Clayton coming from Mississippi State. Linebacker Ashton Heflin coming from Georgia Tech. Another SEC defensive lineman and Will Norman from Florida. Cornerback Isaiah Johnson from Arizona State. And edge Jason Harris coming from Arizona. I think at this point, like, you're just kind of waiting to see what that linebacker room looks like. With Neal gone and Dix entering the portal, man, that their top leading linebacker from at least from last season would go all the way down to Jakorian Anderson, who had a total of 29 tackles. So yeah, this is definitely a team, like, I'm not really drafting anybody. I'm more kind of waiting to see maybe how things shake out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they're definitely gonna look a lot different from what we're used to seeing from them, especially with the turnover. And that's with anything. When you have that much turnover leaving out, it's it changes the whole dynamic of what you're used to seeing with the team. So up next, and I don't know why anybody in the world would want to talk about this team, but I guess we have to, since they're part of the Sun Belt. But that's the Old Dominion Monarchs. Don't know anybody that's a fan of them, but you know, no coaching changes for you guys.
No coaching. Not on the defensive side anyway. There were some offensive coaching changes. I don't know. The moral of the story here is, like, we lose a lot. Cornerback Lamarion James is off to TCU. Safety Sean Ashbury II is off to Indiana. Safety Taj Rael is off to Memphis. Safety Terry Jones Jr. is off to Indiana. Linebacker Wayne Matthews III is off to Michigan State. Defensive lineman Devin Brandt to New Mexico. And then just this last week, we lost one of our top defensive tackles in Jalen Satchel. No word on where he is going yet. We lose five of the top six tacklers. Who do we bring in? Patch safety Patrick Smith Young from North Texas. And safety Will Jones III from South Florida. And Jason Henderson, our leading tackler, linebacker, All-American the last 2 years, got injured at the end of last year. No word on what that injury is. No official word. I feel pretty sure it was an ACL. Not sure if it was any more than that. I attended the spring game. He was there, but of course he did not participate. He's still kind of recovering from the knee injury. And, I tried to really pay attention to that safety group to kind of see, like, hey, you know, we lose our three starting safeties from a year ago. Who's kind of the next folks up? And there was a lot of rotation, man. And so I it was kind of hard to take too much away and, like, say, hey, is this someone of interest from a college production standpoint? At this point, I'd say I don't really have a really strong feeling on who those kind of next guys up are, because there's just so much rotation in terms of in that spring game. It was really wasn't a game; it was more like a glorified practice. One guy I was kind of excited about before the spring game, but then kind of watching the spring game really quelled my excitement, was the transfer from North Texas, Patrick Smith Young. I think he was their second leading tackler a year ago. He played in the same offense last year. And so he comes to, I mean, same offense, same defense, last year, a 3-3-5. And, but he's small, man. He's for someone that has many tackles, he's a little on the smaller side. And so he didn't stand out or anything in that spring showcase. So yeah, I don't know. Other than Jason Henderson and hoping that he can be, fully recovered come August, this kind of looks like an avoid for me, at least at this point.
I mean, everything's going to be built around Henderson if he can return. But, man, y'all lost a lot behind him, right? So if for some reason, knock on wood, that he's not able to return,
if he's not able to return, I'm trying to think of the young man's name that takes over his spot. I don't want to butcher his name. Naotala. Yeah, that's kind of the guy with Henderson out that kind of takes over that middle linebacker role. He played in the last few games of the season in the bowl game. And he was the one there in the spring with Henderson out.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He'll just be a junior this year. Like, he only had 29 tackles last year, 1.5 for a loss. So,
and most of that production would have came all at the end of the year after Henderson got hurt.
Right. So maybe that's a name to watch if Henderson doesn't return. We move on. Up next is the South Alabama Jaguars. A lot of coaching turnover here. So Kane out as the head coach. He goes over to Alabama to be the new defensive coordinator. Will Windham, the linebackers coach, was fired. Landis Wilkerson, the defensive line coach, left to go coach the same position for Tulane. And Corey Batoon, the defensive coordinator, left to coach the same position at Missouri. I'm kind of interested to see this incoming staff. But Major Applewhite is taking over as the head coach, right?
Yep, moving up from offensive coordinator.
Yep, he was offensive coordinator for South Alabama, so he's coming over. I think that's an error because we've got Will Windham listed twice here. I'll have to double check that. Anyway, you got Jonathan Bradley coming over to coach the defensive line. He's coming from Jackson State, where he was the defensive coordinator. You've got Cameron Clemenson, who's going to be your inside linebackers coach, and he's coming over from Cincinnati, where he was a graduate assistant. So I think offensively they're going to be a lot better with Applewhite. I think that's kind of the thing, right? And then you kind of fill in around him defensively. Did Will Windham leave, or is he coming in? Because we've got him, for some reason, he's listed in both, and I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
It's an error by one of us. So if he's coming in, he's the new defensive coordinator. But I don't think that's right. Anyway,
he got promoted. He's not gone. He got promoted. He was the linebackers coach a year ago, and he got promoted to defensive coordinator.
Okay, so that makes sense then. So yeah, I think Applewhite's going to bring them a little bit more attention just because of the name, right? What he did in college.
Yeah.
So I think that'll help. So remains to be seen what they can do defensively and with recruits. But I think having Applewhite as the head coach, I think that helps. Looks like they have a few player movements.
Yeah, they lose a lot from that defense. They lose safety Yam Banks, who I think, you know, next year at this time, probably someone that could get drafted. He moves off to Ole Miss. Linebacker Quentin Wilfon is out of eligibility. The same with linebackers Trey Kaiser and James Miller. Those three guys were the top three tacklers from a year ago. They bring in defensive tackle Bryson Dixon from Georgia Tech, Ladarius Webb Jr. from Oklahoma State, and linebacker Akil Washington coming over from Liberty. They lose six of their top seven tacklers. And then if you went even further, it's something looks like maybe like 10 of their top 13 tacklers they lose. So yeah, a lot of changes on this defense. Their top returning tackler is safety Jaden Voisin, who had 66 tackles a year ago. I think we have scheduled to talk with this guy either this week or next week for the G5 High. So I'll get to learn a little bit more about the defense at that point. But it's definitely, you know, off the cuff here. It doesn't look like a defense that I'm really interested in investing in any of these players.
Yeah, me either. I mean, we've said it all throughout the turnover. There's a lot left to be answered, right? So anybody can kind of guess and point at this guy and this guy, unless it's just a star coming in or someone that you actually know. You're looking off what they've got on their roster. If you're losing 10 of your top 13, that's a lot of production that you've got to fill. So even if you're bringing in recruits, portal, you know, it's a new group of names, and you have. This is a team that I'm looking to add any players from, at least not right now.
Yeah.
Next up is going to be the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. So Dan O'Brien, their defensive coordinator, was fired. Brandon Lacey, their defensive line coach, was fired. And Mark Kreiner, their outside linebackers coach, was fired. Not living up to their standards, right? Because Southern Miss has always had some pretty decent defensive players and overall fairly decent defenses. So when you don't live up to that standard to begin with, that, you know, you expect some changes. Coming in is going to be Clay Bignell. He's going to be the new defensive coordinator, and he's coming over from Eastern Illinois, where he coached the same position. Wyatt, also coming over from Eastern Illinois to be the defensive line coach. So that's their coaching change.
Player personnel, they lose safety Jay Stanley out of eligibility. One of Hollywood's longtime favorites is finally gone. Linebacker Hayes Maples out of eligibility. Linebacker Swayze Bozeman out of eligibility. The same with defensive tackle Quentin Bivens and linebacker Josh Carr Jr., as well as cornerback Markel McLaurin. They lose six of their top seven tacklers from a year ago. They bring in defensive tackle Jonathan Davis, Mississippi State, safety Braxton Myers from Purdue, safety Will James from Mississippi State, and linebacker Trey Pinkney coming over from Coastal Carolina. Their top returning tackler is safety Dylan Lawrence, who had 72 tackles a year ago. We did talk with Southern Miss on our Worker Bee series already. I believe that released last Monday, so that's out there if you want to go learn more about Southern Miss. But the two takeaways for me on the defensive side were he was really impressed with their defensive line. He kind of felt like they might have the best defensive line in all the Sun Belt, maybe even the G5. And then linebacker was very much still up in the air in terms of like who's stepping up to kind of, you know, assume that Hayes Maples and Swayze Bozeman roles kind of in the middle of that defense. Still kind of a battle, and when nothing was really decided there in the spring, but he was very excited about that defensive line.
Up next, Texas State Bobcats, who I heard you talking last night with the All Atlanta or All ATL guy, that Texas State's favored to be one of the front runners in this conference this year.
They're one of my favorites. I don't know if other people consider them a favorite, but I would think so. Right? I mean, I think they have one of the better offenses probably in all of G5.
I think so too, and that's going to keep them in a lot of games, right? So if they can just get some stops, I think that's going to put them in a good position to be, like I said, one of the favorites. I think so. I like them too, but Jonathan Packey, their defensive coordinator, is gone. He left to go to Duke to go coach the same position. And then coming in to replace him is going to be Dexter McCoyle, who was already on the roster as the safeties coach, so he's just being promoted up. You've got Brad Cavado. He's going to be the co-defensive coordinator, and he's going to coach the linebackers coach. And he's coming over from UTEP, where he was a defensive coordinator. And, you know, he had the Troy Moore that he coached there for a few years before he left to go to Texas. They didn't have a bad defense. They just couldn't hang with some of the upper-level players or teams. You know, like when they come and played Tennessee, it was clear that they in this conference, I thought they did pretty well. So that should help them a lot, though.
They do have some losses on defense, though. They lose Edge, Bryce Cage off to Utah State. They lose their top two tacklers from last year ago, and linebacker Brian Holloway and safety Sean Holton. They're both out of eligibility. And then defensive end Jordan Revels, who had, you know, had some productive years there from, you know, in the past for them. He's also out of eligibility. They bring in defensive linemen, Tamisi Adeleye from Michigan State, linebacker James Neal coming over from UTEP, defensive lineman Alex Merritt from Eastern Michigan, and linebacker Max Harris from UL Monroe. So I feel like they really, you know, they really filled those kind of voids that they lost by bringing those guys in. And, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see like kind of who kind of if someone's kind of steps up and can get 100 tackles. They did. Holloway did have 105 tackles a year ago. Both Harris and James Neal, the two linebackers coming in, were productive at their previous schools. Harris had 79 tackles and James Neal had 67. But you got to remember James Neal also played next to who drafted him? Seattle Seahawks. Tyrese Knight. So, you know, he kind of shared that the linebacker room with an NFL guy. So, yeah, Max Harris and James Neal should serve them well there at linebacker.
Yep, I like it. Up next, the Troy Trojans. And I can't wait to hear you talk about some of their players because they lost quite a bit. but they had a lot of turnover. They lost quite a bit, and they had quite a bit of turnover as a head coach. And you've heard us kind of mention some of this before, some of these names. But John Summerall, he's gone, right? He's had Troy being very competitive the past few years. Tulane as their new head coach. Greg Desperado, the defensive coordinator, follows him to Tulane as well. Taylor Polk, the inside linebackers coach, he's following that. Bam Hardman, the defensive line coach, he's following as well. So it was a full change defensively they all go to Tulane and take over there, where they've had good seasons. I think we talked about that when we were talking about Tulane. So, excuse me, coming in to replace these guys, you're going to have Gerard Parker, the new head coach, and he's coming over from Notre Dame, where he was the offensive coordinator. So, kind of like this hire, I want to see how he does in a full-time role where he's responsible for everything. Now, it's one thing to lead a position group or one side of the ball, but when you're faced with being the man in charge, it changes things a little bit. So, he's got quite the group. He's going to bring in Dante Wright to be his defensive coordinator, and he's coming over from West Virginia, where he was the safeties coach. He's bringing in Chris Boone, who was to be the outside linebackers coach, and he's coming up from Samford, where he was a defensive coordinator. You've got Justin Manning, who's going to coach the defensive line. He comes over from Austin Peay. We're going to have Nathan Burton, who's going to help coach, or who's going to coach the inside linebackers and be a co-defensive coordinator. And he's coming over from Kennesaw State, where he was a defense coordinator. When I was reading these, the first thing that popped in my head is you got a new coach, right, who was an offensive coordinator for one of the more glamorous institutions, right, Notre Dame, where his wheelhouse is. How did he fill his staff defensively? And, you know, he got one, two, three. He brought in three players to help coach positions that were former defensive coordinators at other stops. So it's not like he's kind of getting, you know, I don't know, for an example, Vanderbilt's linebackers coach to come in and do this. And no, he went and got defensive coordinators, coaches that are in lead positions to come in and help him fill out this defense, which I think ties into your who's leaving, because, man, they lost.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of talent, and I know you're going to read them off, but the two that pop out to me was Richard Jubinor and Javon Solomon. They're two edge rushers who were – I think these defensive coordinators, I think their knowledge and experience with recruiting is going to help a lot.
Yeah, they as you might expect, losing a staff, they, you know, a lot of them follow the staff over to Tulane, you know. Right. So that starts with safety Jack Tichenchu off of Tulane, safety Chris Rogers off to Tulane, defensive lineman TJ Jackson to West Virginia, cornerback Caleb Ransall, Tulane, defensive lineman Deshaun Batiste off to Tulane, linebacker Jaden McDonald over to Indiana. Safety Del Pettis out of eligibility. Safety Rashad Davis out of eligibility. Linebacker edge Richard Jupuner out of eligibility. Cornerback O'Shea Fletcher out of eligibility. Edge Javon Solomon out of eligibility, but got drafted just last week. Cornerback Reddy Stewart out of eligibility. They lose 9 of their top 10 tacklers. They bring in safety Cecil Powell from NC State, linebacker Jordan Perry from Kansas State, and edge Jamal Williams from Cincinnati. Man, they just got so much replacement to do, not just from coaching staff. They had, you know, turnover there, player personnel. This is the Troy defense has been pretty strong the last few years by G5 standards, and kind of like JMU, they've lost everything, and definitely expect them to take a step back there on the defensive front in production.
Yeah, I agree, and just, you know, like the two names, Jubinor and Solomon, that's kind of the same thing that James Masson is going through, right? They lost their three top pass rushers, and they were good ones, and this is. Kind of curious as to who could be that guy stepping up. I know you talked about Jamal Williams, but 6'4", 238. But he's a young guy, right? Unproven, played in 10 games for Cincinnati, but he doesn't really have any st- stats. I mean, he was mainly a special teams and a backup. So, and looking at their roster, I don't know who else, because they lost, know who that next guy up to them is. I've not really had a chance to really truly dig into their roster, but man, losing that much, you can bet whoever it is either going to be young and inexperienced, or it's going to be some kind of transfer portal player that they're bringing in.
Yeah.
And then finally, our last team is going to be Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. And I love their name, the Warhawks. I love their uniforms too. They're pretty cool looking. But they've got some coaching changes. Terry Bowden, they fired, so he's no longer there. We all know the Bowden name. So, again, when you have head coaching changes, you have other changes. They're bringing in Bryant Vincent to be their new head coach. Former offensive coordinator for New Mexico. Davron Williams is going to be their new defensive line coach, and he's coming over from Kennesaw State, where he was coached the defensive ends. Alec Osborne is going to coach the inside linebackers. He's coming over from Baylor, where he was quality control. And then you've got Ernest Hill, who's going to be the new defensive coordinator. And he's coming over from UAB, where he coached the Nickelbacks.
You know, UL Monroe didn't have a good season last year. I don't know that they're going to improve too much this year. They lose safety A.J. Watts to Memphis, linebacker Michael Batten to Houston, edge Kennard Snyder to Iowa State, and then, as we mentioned earlier, linebacker Max Harris is off to Texas State. That's four of their top five tacklers from a year ago. The leading tackler they return is Aiden Huntington, who had 62 tackles a year ago. You know, man, this is – you know, offensively and defensively, it just not, doesn't look like a great team on paper. So it looks like another not so great season for the Warhawks, unfortunately.
They're kind of talent deprived. Like I said, or like you said, I think their best player, and he's only got 1 year left. That's Aiden Huntington, and he's coming over from, he's a transfer from Kent State a couple of years ago. So, 63 tackles, 16 for a loss, 8.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, couple pass deflections. So I think he's their best player on defense, but he's not going to give you a lot. I think whoever steps up into that Michael Batten role, because he was their leading tackler from last year, so before he left to go to the NFL. So I think, you know, they're like all these other teams, who steps up as far as their young guys, or who can they bring in through the portal to help supplement some of the losses that they've had. But like you've said on some of these other teams, this is not really that I'm looking for help from my IDP rosters. Maybe Huntington, if you can get him cheap enough, I think there's some upside and value there. And, yeah, so that does it for our Sun Belt IDP preview. Next week, finally, after I've been talking about it for days and getting it wrong, we're going to do the eight. I think that'll be a fun one to do as you start to get more into the Power 5 stuff. You can see, you know, like Clemson, Clemson's going to have a lot of changes. So I'll be interested to dig into that one. As far as players go, it's going to be fun. I think Florida State's going to have a lot of changes with Furse and Buffoon and those guys gone. So it'll be interesting to see. Here on Daily IDP Grind. And go check out Justice and Lucas, his co-host with the G55. Go check them out at G55. And check us out at Daily IDP Grind. And then you've got the other podcast that we were talking about you were doing last night.
That's over the College Huddle. Me and Luke and I host the G5 show over there. They have a show that releases every night of the week. SEC, Big Ten, ACC, you name it. They have all the Power Four conferences. Luke and I do the G5 conference. They have also a Big Ten basketball show, and then they do like a national show, I think, on Saturday nights. Good stuff. It's not really, it's not fantasy, driven. It's just more college football content, more general. And like I said, they have some college basketball content as well. If you're really looking for more in-depth stuff in terms of college football, I would definitely encourage folks to check out our Worker Bee series on the G5 Hive, where we interview folks from, beat reporters, or even, might be a student newspaper guy from teams from the G5. We probably have, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so released right now. And right now we're pumping out three of them a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 a.m., a new episode every 3 a week. So, yeah, good stuff there. And we talk offense and defense there in terms of, players and, kind of ask who's kind of standing out and, who's going to be a breakout player on the offense, breakout player on the defense, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, definitely would encourage you to listen to that if you're looking for more player personnel-driven podcasts for college football.
Awesome. Yeah, I tuned in last night. It was a great show. You had the guy on for Georgia Tech. Lots of good info, I think. I mean, even though it's just a college football pod, you can gather a lot of info, right? I mean, because they're kind of glued in or tuned in to what's going on. So you may hear some names that, you wouldn't have heard or something like that, that wasn't even on your radar, and people you need to check. I mean, I did it last night after y'all got done, and I found one on Pittsburgh, right? The Panthers. And I was just sitting there listening to the guy, and he started talking about defense. And I was like, hey, I seen him comment, on the YouTube chat. And I was like, hey, this is somebody that we've been hearing for a while. And he gave me some great feedback. He's like, yeah, he's projected to be a starter this year. He gave me another name that you'll have to go check out in my rankings. But he gave me another name. He's like, those two have stood out in practice. Spring games, it looks like they're going to get their opportunity. So, and he had no idea that I was, asking for fantasy. I just said, hey, what about Aaron Donald? So, yeah, I like tuning into a lot of good information, names that you haven't heard or whatever. So, and hopefully that's what you all get from us too, right? The IDP rosters, maybe we're giving you names that you weren't aware of or names that you were, but you just didn't know where their place or how to feel about them for IDP purposes or whatever. So we're always glad to help. Send any questions you got, trades, whatever. We're always glad to help. You can follow him at justice_2318. You can follow me at Hollywood Titan. You can follow us at JDIDP Grind, at the G5 Hive. Go over to YouTube. Please rate, review, and subscribe there. Help us grow. If you don't do YouTube, not a video. Sound podcast. Version of this. Yeah.
Audio.
We'll have the podcast downloaded later today, and you can catch up anywhere you listen to podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, iHeartRadio. I mean, we're everywhere. We're easy to find. So, go check our stuff out. Go check out our Patreon. Go check out the Discord. There's a lot of good stuff there too. So, we will be back next Monday at 3:00. We'll do the ACC. It's got California in there, so that's what threw me. It threw me off, but we'll get used to it. And I think we're starting to dig into some of the bigger names that we'll be looking for some of these big conferences. again, thank you for our YouTube listeners. The last few episodes, we've seen a tick up in those. We appreciate it. Feel free to jump in the comments in the show and give us names or ask questions. Discord's been growing. Our Patreon's been growing. So let us know what you want to hear and what you don't want to hear. And we will be back next Monday.